In my estimation, one of the most sobering things about being a Christian is a very dangerous and destructive problem that can plague the life of any individual Christian or any local church. The fact that we can potentially be right and yet we can still be wrong. We can be right. We can wear that right name on the church sign, as it were. We can worship with all the right externals. We can preach the truth on every Bible subject. We can have the right organizational structure. We can be right in many respects. And yet internally, we can be far removed from what God calls us to be as His people. We can be right, oh yes, but we can still be dead wrong. And such was the case many, many years ago during the days of the prophet named Amos. In the days of Amos the prophet, God's people were right in many respects. But in many more respects, they were wrong. They were God's people, you see. They were God's chosen nation. They had many of those right rituals of Judaism correct. They were worshiping externally just as the law told them to worship. And yet when God peeled back the curtain, as it were, and God explored their attitudes and their actions, they were wrong. They were far off base. They were out of step with God. And yes, they needed to repent. And thus God raised up this great prophet Amos. Amos was not a prophet. He was not a son of a prophet. He had no prophetic lineage, no prophetic training. He was an ordinary man, but God used this ordinary man to preach an extraordinary message. A message to warn God's people, to call God's people, and to comfort the faithful remnant of God's people. You see, in the book of Amos, I see a warning for God's people then, but if we're honest, there's also a warning for God's people today. As you and I explore those concepts, let's think, number one, about God's warning for ancient Israel. In Amos chapter 1, verse 1, the opening line tells us that God had a vision for Amos. And that vision concerned the nation of Israel. When you begin to unpack that vision that Isaiah or Amos saw, it runs through chapter 9, verse 14. Just 9 chapters. But in these 9 chapters, Amos does 4 things to warn the people of Israel in delivering this vision from heaven. Number one, he sets forth 8 judgments. In Amos chapter 1, verse 1 to Amos chapter 2, verse 16, there's a series of 8 judgments. But God did not begin with judgment upon the nation of Israel. Instead, God began by using Amos to denounce the sins of the heathen people around the nation of Israel. He deals with Damascus and Damascus's sins, Gaza and Gaza's sins. He deals with the Edomites and the Moabites, the Ammonites and Tyre and Judah, and then Jerusalem last but not, or Israel last but not least. As you were, think about a dartboard, and with each circle of that dartboard, as you move closer and closer in, you finally get to the bullseye. As Amos began with these 8 judgments, he began addressing all the various nations around Israel, denouncing their sins. For 3 transgressions and for 4, Amos would preach. But with each pass, he would get closer and closer and closer. Then finally, the nation of Israel. In your mind, you can think about the nation of Israel saying things like this: preach it, Amos. Get them, Amos. Sick them, Amos. Amen. Preach it, brother. They would have taken great pleasure, no doubt, in hearing Amos denounce the various sins of all these nations they knew was not the chosen nation of God. But then last but not least, that 8th judgment of all, God pointed His finger at His own people. In Amos chapter 5, verse 12, God tells Amos that, "I know their transgressions, and I know their sins, And God says that His own people, Israel, their sins and their transgressions are great and many. Go back and read Amos chapter 1 verse 1 to Amos chapter 2 verse 16 and notice how much space God spends writing about the sins of His own people. It's much more space, much more condemnation regarding Israel than any of the other nations in those eight judgments. So we have eight judgments. Then we have number two, three sermons. He's delivering this vision from God to Israel, calling them to repentance. There's eight judgments, but there's also number two, three sermons. In Amos chapter 2 verse 17, all the way to Amos chapter 6 verse 14, Amos preaches three sermons to the nation of Israel. Each sermon is prefaced the same way. Hear this word, hear this word, hear this word. And he begins to go down the list, exploring, unpacking, examining, denouncing the many and great sins, Amos 5 verse 12, of Israel. Now time will not permit to explore all of these sins, but for example, in Amos chapter 2 verse 4, they despised God's law. That's God's people. In Amos chapter 2 verses 6 and 7, they sold the righteous man, the poor and needy man, into slavery. In Amos chapter 2 verse 12, they silenced, they closed the mouths of God's prophet. They said, quit preaching that here. We don't want that message. They silenced the mouths of God's prophets. In chapter 4 verses 1 to 3, they were given to materialism. This is the golden age of northern Israel, some say. Living in the lap of luxury, and they were given to that luxury. They were living with so many possessions, they were given to greed and materialism, Amos 4, 1 to 3. And on and on and on we could go throughout chapter 6, verse 14. Three sermons. In each of these three sermons, Amos says the same thing, just 2 points in each sermon. Judgment is deserved because of your sins, and judgment is decreed by God. It is coming. So we have eight judgments. We have three sermons. Then number three, we also have five visions. Beginning in Amos chapter 7 verse 1, all the way to Amos chapter 9 verse 10, Amos continues with this vision from heaven with five special visions from God. Each vision is prefaced the same general way. Thus the Lord has shown me. This is what God has shown me. God has opened my eyes, as it were, to let me see things and let my ears hear things that you cannot see. And these things are just putting God's stamp saying, yes, judgment is coming. But then one last thing, Amos does this too. Number four, we have one final promise. That's Amos chapter 9, 11 to 15. The book begins with condemnation. Israel, you've left my plan for your life. You're out of step with me. You're right, but you're dead wrong in many ways. Judgment's deserved, judgment's decreed. But the book closes with God's compassion. In Amos chapter 9, verse 11, he says, in that day. There's an important day. The same day, as it were, that Joel was saying is going to happen. The same day that did happen, Acts chapter 2, the day of the Lord. This book of judgment for sin ends with God's compassion, with God, as it were, pointing His finger first to the cross of Calvary and next to the church of Christ. Eight judgments, three sermons, five visions, one final promise. All for a nation that was right, but they were wrong. And as you and I step back from this book and think about the church of today, to open up the Bible and look in the spiritual mirror of God's Word and analyze our own life in light of ancient Israel, we also are warned that we can be right and yet be wrong. God's warning was for them. But number two, God, by implication, has a warning for the church today. Go back home and read this book tonight. It's just 9 chapters. And as you read this book, especially that section on his 3 sermons, chapter 2, verse 17, to chapter 6, verse 14. As you read that section and think about these 3 sermons that Amos preached, just notice how many sins he mentions. And as you notice the sins that God called them out for in that section, notice how many sins deal with their mistreatment of the poor. How many of the sins that God mentions deal with not helping those who were in need? You see, in Amos chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, they cared more about pleasure than they cared about people. They cared more about their own possessions than they cared about people. And God says, I have something against you because of that. Folks, we live in homes that could be featured on HGTV. We drive cars that cost more than what some individuals make in an entire year. Our closets are literally overflowing with clothes that we could not even possibly wear in a year's time. Our pantries are filled with food, not just food to sustain our bodies, but food that tastes good, right? Food that we want to eat and enjoy eating. Could it be that we are just like the people of Israel? We're stretched upon our beds of ivory, yet we think not for those who are in need and how we can help our fellow man. That's what God was concerned about over and over and over again as He was calling His people to repent. They were right, oh yes, but they were dead wrong. And as Amos preached, he set forth God's beautiful desire to see justice rolling down like rivers of water. Could it be that we are living in our luxurious homes, that we're driving our nice automobiles, that we're wearing our expensive clothing, that we're worshiping God in all the right ways in our expensive church buildings, yet we're not really grieved and not really caring for the needs of our fellow man? We could be right, you see, but we could still be dead wrong. What a message for those people then, but what a message for us too. But folks, here's the good news. It doesn't have to be condemnation. The book ends with God's compassion. The book ends with God's comfort. The Bible shows us over and over and over again the goodness and the severity of God. He was calling His people to repent, but yet He set forth this wonderful promise to bless those who would serve Him. And friend, God can bless you tonight. Are you in a covenant relationship with God tonight? As Glenn said, are you in that marital relationship with Jesus Christ? You can begin that tonight by becoming a child of God. You can begin right here tonight preparing yourself for that ultimate day of the Lord when God will come in wrath on this world, but also in comfort for those who are His. And yes, you can start tonight by making sure that you're right, not just in some ways, not just externally, but first and foremost, internally too. Are you in Christ tonight? We would love to help you. Be sure, be confident that you can leave this building knowing you're right with God. Friend, believe in Christ. Believe He is what He claimed to be, that He did what He really claimed to do and did do. Believe Christ. Repent of your sins. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, 30 and 31. That includes you and includes me. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then be immersed to meet the precious blood of Jesus and have your sins washed away. Saul was told to arise and be baptized, to thus have his sins washed away. Acts 22, verse 16. Have you done those things? Could it be that you're right? But could it be that you're still wrong? Is something amiss in your life right now holding you back from being what God calls you to be and what you know deep down you long to be? You're here tonight for this gospel meeting. But is something in your life holding you back from that higher plane of service? Friend, focus on that. Scrutinize that. Analyze that and make it right tonight with God's people before it's too late. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. And friend, yes, God will forgive you. Do it right now as we stand.